but she also hadn't seen this place, and she hadn't spent time with Tegan. Oh, she'd heard him, loud and clear, when he said he didn't have affection for her like that. But there was something about him, something that called to her and told her that her life would be lacking if she didn't get to know him better. In one night with Tegan, her heart had been ripped open and bled slowly with the awful memories of the man who'd hurt her. She'd been tossed this way and that on the tidal waves of her emotions. But at least she'd felt something. For months, she'd been numb. But tonight, she felt that spark in her chest again. She shook her head in disbelief and sighed. I'll stay. Chapter 5. Tegan couldn't throw the truck into park fast enough. Don't worry, Kellen said from the passenger's seat. Your mate's still here. Tegan graced his best friend with an exasperated look. Would you stop calling her that, man? Rein in the heavy bear shifter shit. She's not like us. You have to knock it off, at least until she leaves. She's not my mate. Your face just went all sad when you talked about her leaving. Kellen shoved the door open and slid out of the work truck. She's your mate. The fuck she is, Connor called from his position, leaning on the railing of his front porch. Tegan stifled the growl that threatened to rattle his throat. Connor, that dick, had probably spent his entire day off pestering Brooke while Tegan was up in the mountains, cutting lumber, stripping logs, loading trucks, and going crazy with the thought of that rangy shifter anywhere near her. We're just friends, he muttered. The snarling animal inside of him thoroughly disagreed. Brooke's car wasn't in front of her trailer, and a flood of panic constricted Tegan's insides. He jogged toward 1010. Where is she? He asked Connor. Looks like you ran her off, Connor said through a smirk. If anyone ran her off, it was that asshole. And if he did, Tegan was going to bleed him. He needed more time with her. Not to claim her, just to... Ah, fuck. Who was he kidding? He wanted her bad. His bear wanted her worse. She was all long blonde hair, eyes the color of honey, and petite, the perfect size for protecting. He could make every excuse in the book to kick her out of here, but after last night, he hadn't been able to stand the thought of her leaving and not learning more about her. He bounded up her stairs, two at a time, and threw open the front door. Please, please let her stuff still be in here. He bolted for the bedroom and gripped the front door frame until it creaked. Rolling his eyes back in his head, he sighed with relief at the sight of her suitcase, an unmade bed. He didn't know her that well, but Brooke didn't strike him as a person who'd leave without making the bed. Paper fluttered from somewhere in the trailer, brushing soft noises against his oversensitive eardrums. What was that? He strode back across the living room to the second bedroom on the other side and stopped short when he reached the open door. Sheets of oversized paper littered the floor, each painted with an image of the same man's face. One sat half-finished and clipped to an easel. Tegan knelt down and raised the closest of the discarded pieces to the window light. Cold, empty eyes, staring straight ahead, no, straight through him. It was painted in dark colors, and the only highlights were where she'd left the cream-colored paper raw and untouched. The only color other than black was the gray in his eyes. He looked around. She had used the same gray in all of the paintings. Some were of the man snarling his lip or looking down. In one, he was laughing, but the smile looked cruel. Slow rage built inside of Tegan, small and unassuming at first, then bigger and brighter, until the animal inside of him threatened to shred him from the inside out. He hunched forward, crumpling the man's picture in his fists. He'd hurt Brooke, this monster. Not here, Kellen said softly from behind. You can't tear up her home, Tegan. She feels safe here, but she won't if she sees an animal has ripped up her place. Kellen was right. Damn it, he was always right. Right and level-headed. And it was Kellen who should have been second in the clan. He just hadn't been interested. Not like Tegan and Connor had been. Chest heaving against the urge to change, Tegan loosened his grip on the painting. Seconds dragged on as he fought his animal for his skin, His muscles were so tight it was hard to move, hard to think. Teeth gritted. He forced his hands open and rested his palms on the cool, laminate flooring. Breathe. Just breathe. She's not gone. She's here. Away from that asshole who hurt her. She's safe. With me. Safe with him? He was losing his mind. Where is she? Tegan's voice came out low and gravelly, inhuman. Connor said she went into town for groceries, Kellen said. She probably got tired of him harassing her all day. Kellen cleared his throat and knelt down to run his finger across an angry-looking red slash mark across one of Brooke's paintings. Connor's going to cause trouble for you. And for her. You realize that, right? I can handle Connor. Kellen said noncommittally. Heaving a sigh, Tegan leaned back on his heels and stared helplessly across the room of paintings. Paintings Brooke had created out of the pain churning inside of her. She was scared of being seen as weak. Ridiculous woman. She was hiding all of this from the world. His stomach clenched in on itself, just thinking about the monumental effort she must put forth every day just to appear normal. He'd give anything to take this pain away from her, to have her saved from that experience in the stairwell, the one that made her run into the wilderness to try to feel safe and whole again. His mate was fierce. His mate was stronger than anyone he'd ever met. She was still getting up every day, trying to fight her fear and heal her scars. And if it was the last thing he did, he was going to show her just how powerful she was. His mate. Shit. A long, contented rumble left Tegan's throat, and Kellen smiled like he knew everything that ever was. Tegan needed out of this place. He needed to see Brooke, to reassure his bear that she wasn't gone forever, just for now. He needed to make sure she was safe and whole. Not just for her, but for selfish reasons. He had to convince himself she was okay so he could calm the rage that had ignited in his gut, then settled into a discomfort that wouldn't go away. He was sweaty and filthy from working the landing all day, but that didn't stop him from jumping behind the wheel of his truck and blasting out of the trailer park. Connor watched him go with narrowed, accusing eyes, but Tegan didn't give a shit. Brooke was his. But he'd be damned if he hurt her more by claiming her. He cared about her enough to be her friend and let her go. Oh, he'd pine for her always after she left, but he'd be justified in his decision. She'd go back to her life, and he'd hope she'd look back on her time here fondly. His bear had chosen her, and she'd always stick. It was how it was with shifters. He'd give her up, though, because he refused to hurt her. Not like that man in the stairwell. As soon as he was in range of good reception, he pressed the only speed dial he had programmed into his cell phone. "I was wondering when you were going to call," Meredith said into the phone. Even from hundreds of miles away, he could tell she was smiling as she spoke. He could hear it in her voice. "It's been a long time, Mom." "Too long. I hear you've been taking good care of my girl. She called me an hour ago, gave me an earful about my rental mistake, but admitted she is going to stay for a while. You must have charmed her well." Tegan gripped the steering wheel and glared at the gravel road that was disappearing under his tires. "Why did you send her here?" His mother's answer was simple. "Because you need each other." He bit back a curse because she'd always been a right proper lady and hated when his foul mouth ran away with him. His knuckles were turning white from a stranglehold on the wheel. "Right. And when she leaves me, and I feel like my life isn't fulfilling anymore, like I can't be happy anymore and my bear is out of control, what then?"
"I don't know, son," she said softly. "I just know that I've watched her for years, seen her grow up as an artist, and everything she does complements who you are."
Tegan pinched the bridge of his nose and sighed a long, steadying breath.
"The man who hurt her."
"You don't have to worry about him.
Brooke said he got out of jail."
"Tegan," his mother said carefully, then repeated slowly,
"you don't have to worry about him."
Tegan nodded. He knew exactly what she was saying. She'd probably killed the man in some back alley, claws out, as she let him see his doom before it came. That she had avenged Brooke, said everything about how important she was to Mom.
Okay, he drawled, his bear settling by a fraction. The threat to Brooke was over, and he wouldn't have to travel to kill her attacker. I knew he was getting out, she said, but couldn't make a move until Brooke was out of the city and away from it all. His death couldn't blow back on her, you understand. He did. His mother was a mama bear and a protector, down to the core, and an intelligent hunter. That man had conjured the wrath of an apex predator the second he marked Brooke's neck. Jail had only prolonged his life. Has she painted anything yet? Mom asked. Yeah, but I think she's worse off than ever. There are 2 dozen paintings of her attacker's face she must have done this morning.
Good.
Good? They aren't exactly the pretty star paintings she talks about wanting to get back to. They're full of pain and grit and... Fuck, his bear was doubling him over the wheel just thinking about it. But she's painting. She hasn't been able to do that in 3 months. When someone like Brooke loses their creative outlet, all of that energy doesn't just leave her. It's still there, trapped, and turning poisonous by the day. If she needs to paint her anger, fine. At least it's a start. This is something she needs. She needs to work through this, or it could ruin her, Tegan. Not just her ability to make a living, but it could ruin her creativity, turn it black and untrustworthy. Even from his grave, that criminal could take away her livelihood. Tegan, she said, voice stony. Don't let that happen. The line went dead. Tegan flipped the phone onto the passenger seat and scrubbed his free hand over his 2-day stubble. He could barely keep his crew from tearing each other's throats out when Jed was away. And now Brooke's happiness rested on his shoulders? What if he screwed this up? What if she ended up hating him because of it? What if he pushed too hard, and she lost her love of painting completely? He knew exactly how important muses were. He'd been raised by an artist, after all. The urge that lived inside of Brooke, the one that told her she must create, was just as important as her talent to do so. He hit the gas as he blasted past a green sign that informed him Saratoga was 25 miles away. Whatever he had to do to help Brooke get her life back, he'd do it. Chapter 6 Brooke eyed the fabric swatches in the home improvement aisle at the general store on the main drag in town. It only sold 2 shades of blackout curtains, sky blue and sunny yellow. She'd had big plans to sleep in this morning after the late night she'd kept, but the blaring sunlight in her bedroom had other ideas. Her eyelids were probably sunburned from her attempt to ignore it. And then, out of frustration, she'd woken up and did something awful. Painted something awful. Lots of somethings. She'd never actually felt pain when she was painting before, but this morning... She'd almost made herself sick with the images of her attacker that flowed from her paintbrush and onto those canvases. She snatched a couple of packaged curtains in blue and tossed them into the cart. She made to sped off toward the art supply section, but pulled the cart to a stop and stared thoughtfully at a shelf of bath mats. A gold one kind of matched the baby diarrhea-colored bathtub. She grabbed that and took another look down the aisle. It was kind of fun shopping for a trailer, now that she was going to stay for a while. A kitchen mat, a towel set for the bathroom, a miniature wicker trash can, and a pair of soap dispensers later, Brooke was looking forward to decorating her little place. It had already been furnished when she came, but the little personal touches were missing. And the more she found enjoyment out of picking out those personal touches, the more 1010 felt like a home away from home. With her bags in hand, she stepped out of the general store and waved to an older man in coveralls who waved back. Without her asking, he grabbed the heavy bags and walked her to her car, chatting about the weather and how it was supposed to rain tomorrow. She thanked him, and he tipped his ball cap and went on his way. But she stood there for a minute, watching him leave. That was the first time anyone had offered to help her with her bags, and he was a complete stranger. She looked down Bridge Avenue and smiled at the hustle and bustle of the town's residents after getting off work. A number of restaurants seemed to be drawing in the crowds, but even the busiest passerby nodded their heads in greeting. She liked this place. Everyone seemed friendly. This was different from the city, where she sometimes felt like a number in the masses. She locked up her car and jogged across the street to a small grocery store. She'd been too stubborn to beg breakfast off Connor this morning, and now she was starving. Intending to fully stock the small swing door pantry in 1010 and fill the fridge, she pulled the door open and grabbed a cart. Shopping on an empty stomach was a terrible idea. She wanted every food she passed by. The basket was already half full by the time she stopped in front of the cold cuts in the back. Steak, yes. Pork chops, absolutely. Bacon, hell yes to that. She had a craving, and it involved copious amounts of the savory strips of meat. Someone ran into her cart with theirs, and the sound of metal on metal nearly made her jump out of her skin. "Hey there, stranger," Tegan said through a cocky grin. "Fancy meeting you here." His bright blue eyes held her trapped, her body locked against any movement. He'd filled her mind all day, but was the last person she'd expected to see here.
Hi.
His grin deepened.
"You planning on eating all that bacon yourself?"
She stifled a smile because, really, the man shouldn't be encouraged.
"Are you judging my groceries?"
"You don't want to cook bacon in a trailer."
"I want a BLT.
"What's that?"
he asked, leaning on the front handle of his cart. His muscles looked yummy, all flexed like that, and when his t-shirt stretched farther up his arm, a small tendril of ink was exposed on his tricep. A tattoo? Damn it, she was a sucker for those.
"Brooke, you okay?"
With a monumental effort, she dragged her gaze back to his and cleared her throat.
"I'm fine,"
except her voice had gone up an octave. She cleared her throat again and tried to mentally stifle the burning heat that was creeping up her neck.
"Bacon, lettuce, and tomato?"
His dark eyebrows drew down.
"Pardon?"
"A BLT.
It's a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Put them on some toasted bread with mayo, and bingo bango, magic in your mouth." His eyes dipped to her lips, and the heat in her cheeks flamed hotter. A knowing smile crooked those sexy lips of his, and he pulled his attention back to the refrigerated shelf of meat. The grin slowly faded. "I have to tell you something."
"Okay."
That sounded foreboding.
"I saw those paintings you did this morning."
Horror slammed into her middle. Gripping the bar of a cart, she gritted her teeth to stifle the urge to verbally fillet him right here in front of the meandering shoppers. "You had no right to go into my place."
"Yeah, I did," he said, the humor gone from his voice. "I thought maybe you left. I was making sure your stuff was still in there."
His tone sounded hurt, and her ready insults froze on her tongue.
"Now, listen, before you get on me, woman, I'm not good at talking, and I don't say the right things most of the time, so bear with me. That's not all I wanted to tell you."
He stopped, searching her eyes like he didn't know how to go on.
"What else, then?"
she asked, scared of what he would say, but too curious to let him go without attempting.
"I'm proud of you."
Whatever she thought was going to come out of that man's mouth, that wasn't it.
"What? Why?"
He drew up close to her, close enough to touch, and lowered his voice. "I know it cost you to start painting again, especially like that. I'm proud you're facing your demons, Brooke."
"You don't think..."
How could she ask his opinion without seeming needy? How did she tell him his thoughts on her work meant more than the art critic's write-ups in her local newspaper? How could she stand here, looking at this almost stranger, and tell him his views on those paintings, the ones she planned on never showing anyone, meant the world to her?
"Do you think I'm crazy now?"
"Because of what I saw in those paintings?
No.
I think you're hurt, and I think that asshole deserved to be painted like you did. I didn't like the subject of them. But anyone with eyes in their head can see you are an artist, and a good one at that. Keep painting that man, or paint stars, or horses, or jackalopes, I don't care. I just think it's good that you're painting."
Pride surged through her, spreading outward from her middle until she was warmed with it. He got it. This man who worked with his hands all day. This man who was caked in dirt, contrasting against the clean white linoleum tiles beneath their feet. This rough around the edges, tatted up country boy, understood her in a way no one ever had before. And perhaps in a way No one ever would again.
It means a lot that you said that,
she admitted quietly. Without thinking, she reached forward and brushed a spot of dried mud off his forearm. His muscles bunched and tensed, startling her. And when she glanced up, he looked just as rocked as she felt. Holding her breath, she rested the palm of her hand against his arm and left it there, daring him to jerk away from her. He didn't. Instead, he pulled her other hand to his lips and brushed a light kiss across her knuckles. His eyes were so intense, they almost seemed to change colors in the fluorescent lighting. His lips were soft against her skin as he lingered there. "We're friends," he said, dropping her hands gently to her sides. "Touch me like that, and I'll want more." It sounded like a threat the way he said it. Without another word, he pushed his cart forward and left her there, knees unsteady and warmth pooling between her legs. She stared at the small mountain of bacon in her cart with wide eyes and rubbed her tingling knuckles where he'd kissed them. He made it sound like a bad thing, him wanting more, but to her, it sounded just right. Brooke parked in front of her trailer and stared out the side window in disbelief. Bruiser leaned against the fence near the front entry sign, watching Dennison glide over a gravelly clearing behind a white, jacked-up monster truck. Hayden, Drew, and Kellen were hooting and hollering from the bed of the truck, while Connor was driving donuts on what looked like an old, oversized basketball court. "Is Dennison skiing?" she asked as she approached.
"They found a pair in the storage closet in the office," Bruiser said, bending at the waist until he rested his weight onto the rickety, splintered fence.
From here, she could make out the skis on Dennison's feet as he held onto a rope. Sparks were flying from the backs of the skis. "Aren't they worried about starting a fire?"
"Nah, it's too wet. Won't catch."
She giggled as Dennison wobbled.
"Straighten out, you pussy!"
Hayden yelled. Then they all burst out laughing as Connor jerked the wheel and Dennison flew sideways, losing control. He landed hard in the grass, but none of them even waited to see if he was okay before Drew was out of the truck and pulling the skis off Dennison's feet.
"My turn," he declared.
By the time all of the men had a turn, Brooke was nearly crying with laughter. As she wheezed and doubled over, Bruiser clapped her on the back and boomed a laugh right along with her.
"Idiots,"
he said, wiping moisture from the outside corners of his eyes.
"They're lucky none of them were seriously hurt," Brooke said.
She had a cramp at her side from laughing and massaged it with her fingers.
"It'd take much more than that to injure a..."
Bruiser jerked his gaze to hers, and the smile dropped from his face. He cleared his throat.
"You got groceries you need help carrying in?"
Brooke canted her head and frowned.
"To injure a what?"
"What?"
"That's what I'm asking. You said it would take much more to injure than you let it drop."
"Injure a what, Bruiser?"
"Man with that many beers in his system. Come on."
The humor in his face was gone as he turned and marched away. She followed slowly. That wasn't what he was about to say.
"What's going on?"
she asked. Bruiser ignored her and jogged to her car, as if attempting to escape her questions.
"Fine. Keep your stupid secrets."
"Tegan's planning a celebration for you tonight."
Bruiser pulled open the back door to her car and tugged out a couple of shopping bags. Brooke locked her legs and skidded to a stop.
"A celebration for what? Please, God, don't let it be for painting again."
Her issues were not something she wanted to make public knowledge here.
"It's a welcome to the park celebration. At least, that's what he said on the phone. He's picking up supplies in town for a barbecue. You'll die and go straight to heaven when you taste the food tonight."
He was distracting her, but okay. It was better than awkward silence.
"Oh, well, is there anything I can bring?"
"Just yourself. You're queen of this place now. Let us spoil you like good old boys know how."
A grin cracked her face, and she ducked her chin before he could see it. Maybe Connor had been right to call her princess. She was a trailer park princess now. Her friends back home would crap themselves if they knew how happy she was in this place. It was the first time in months she'd been able to smile without feeling some awful sense of guilt. Here, the troubles of the city seemed far away. Bruiser did most of the heavy lifting with her groceries and art supplies, and when she went out to check that they hadn't missed a bag, she noticed Brighton hauling heavy-looking metal buckets of water over to the back of his truck. The weight looked substantial, but it didn't seem to slow him down one little bit. The edges of a blue tarp flapped in the wind over the sides of the truck bed, so she meandered over there to see what he was doing. Bruiser followed. "What are you doing?" she asked Brighton. The man didn't talk, but his animated expressions conveyed complete thoughts. The twinkle in his eyes was downright naughty, and he twitched his head toward the blue tarp that lined the bed completely. It was already holding water, and when he dumped the huge vats of hot water into it, the surface began to steam. "Did you make a hot tub?" Brighton nodded slowly and twitched his head toward the back again. "You want me to go swimming?" she asked. He nodded and grinned like he was daring her. She looked at the steaming water again, then back to Brighton to gauge if he was joking. It was obvious he thought she'd say no, and something about that bothered her. "I'll put my swimsuit on." Bruiser chuckled, and Brighton's eyebrows arched in surprise. She bit back the smile as she jogged back to her trailer. Thank goodness she'd decided to shave this morning. It wasn't easy, either. There were only 5 minutes of hot water in 10-10, and she had shaved at the speed of light. She had 3 cuts to show from her Olympic-style razor race, too, but, hey, at least she was smooth for the little two-piece she'd brought in case the fancy rental had a pool. She changed in record time and slipped into a pink fuzzy robe and glittery black flip-flops, then speed-walked back to Brighton's truck. Brighton was already lounging in the hillbilly hot tub, and Bruiser was leaning against the back of the truck, talking animatedly with a beer in his hand. "You want one?" he asked as she approached. "Brooke's a lady," Kellen said as he came around the other side. "She doesn't want a beer." He hauled a giant box of wine on top of the truck and poured her a glass of sweet red into a Dixie cup. She would have rather had the beer, but smiled her thanks and took the wine. And after the first few sips, it wasn't that bad. God, they were so cute. It was funny seeing what these gruff men thought ladies wanted and needed. These big, burly guys were killing her with how sweet they could be. "Here, let me," Tegan said from behind her, so close she could feel his breath on her ear. She jumped, but relaxed as he pulled the robe from her shoulders, then offered his hand to help her into the back of the truck. His hungry eyes ravished her slowly, and an approving smile ghosted his lips. "Damn, girl." It shouldn't have sounded like a compliment, but the way he said it, her confidence surged. Kicking off her flip-flops, she lowered into the makeshift hot tub with Brighton. Dear goodness, it felt so good on her stiff muscles. Her body hadn't been acclimatized to hiking through the woods like she had last night, but this made up for it. She almost spit out a gulp of boxed wine when she saw what Kellen was propping up on the side of Brighton's mobile home. One of her paintings had been stapled to an old board of plywood. "What are you doing?" Her voice was pitched high. "That's my painting."
"And it's a really good painting," Tegan said. "I mean, it's amazing."
The men around her agreed, mumbling and nodding their heads.
"The man in the painting is a dick face, though."
"Here." Tegan handed her a set of worn darts. She stared in horror at the sharp metal glistening in the setting sun and the fragile red and blue flights attached to the ends, shaking in the breeze. "What do you want me to do with these?" Tegan jerked his head toward the oversized painting. It was one she'd done in black and white, with a red slash mark across the middle of her attacker's face.
"There's your board, Brooke. Dart the shit out of that douche wagon, so we can have a turn."
Connor came sailing over the edge of the bed, splashing them all, and Hayden, Dennison, and Bruiser followed. The tub was getting ridiculously crowded, but they didn't seem to care. They splashed and laughed, all shirtless and layered with muscle. She heaved a sigh, disturbed that apparently the whole damn trailer park knew about Marcus Sanger, the evil man who ruined her life. The moment should have felt serious and suffocating, but instead the roughhousing and chaos around her took the sting off her painting on display.
"Like this," Dennison said,
pulling a dart from her outstretched palm. He chucked it at the board and hit Marcus right in the emotionless eye. She had to admit, it did feel nice seeing it there, hanging out of his pupil. "I've never thrown a dart before," she admitted.
"Stand up," Tegan said without hesitation.
Unsteadily, she did as she was asked, the waves from the others lapping against her calves. Tegan pulled his shirt over his head, exposing the tattoo that had peeked out from under his sleeve earlier. It was an intricate tribal rendition of some sort of large animal. A bear, perhaps. He was all cut biceps and rippling abs and perfect strips of muscle arced over his hip bones. Curious scars covered his defined pecs, and Brooke had to make an effort to clack her mouth closed. Holy hell balls. Tegan was ripped. Kellen was passing out beers to the boys, so thankfully they didn't seem to notice her body was practically begging her to tackle the man. He pulled himself up on the oversized wheel and waded through the water until he stood just behind her, jeans still on and clinging just right to his lean legs. "Like this," he said, wrapping her fingers around the dart. "Bring it back here. Then let it go here." She did, and the dart arced through the air and bounced off the board. "Good. Harder, and you would have been right where you want to be." Tegan leaned over her shoulder, and his eyes became hard, fierce. "Let that fucker have it, Brooke." Wide-eyed, she swiveled her head back to the painting. Clenching her teeth in determination, she drew back and threw it as hard as she could. The dart landed on Marcus's nose. "Ha!" she crowed, then covered her mouth. "Yes," Kellen said approvingly. "Good woman," Tegan said, his voice low and gravelly. Confidence filled her chest, and she downed the Dixie cup, then handed the empty to Kellen. He grinned and refilled it as she blasted another one at the board. Then another. Bruiser brought them back to her when she was out, and by the third round, she felt awesome. She felt empowered. She felt relieved that all of these men here knew this man had done something awful to her, and she wasn't harboring this dirty secret anymore. She felt free. Her eyes filled with stinging tears as the boys cheered after every good hit she made, and when her arm sagged with the relief of it all, Tegan spun her and yanked the bandage from her neck. "This," he said, holding up what had been hiding her scar, "is gone now. You earned that scar, survived it. Own what you lived through, Brooke." She raked her gaze down the curious scars that crisscrossed the taut skin over his chest. Tegan's eyes were hard and serious as he allowed her to look at him. "We all have them. Ain't no shame, woman." He nodded his chin and held out his hand. "My turn." She gave him a grateful smile and handed him the darts. Then she sat down and accepted the newly filled Dixie cup Kellen handed her. She cheered and drank with the rest of them as these crazy, wild men blasted darts at her attacker's image. A week ago, if someone had told her she'd be sitting in a hillbilly hot tub with a bunch of sexy, shirtless lumberjacks, chucking darts at one of her paintings and smiling harder than she had in months, she would have told them they were crazy. And as Tegan settled in beside her and squeezed her hand, the warm water lapping at their knees as they made room for Kellen, she looked around at all the smiling faces, at the beer bottles that tinked together when someone told a funny joke, and the soaked work jeans with holes in the knees when someone stood up to take a turn at the dartboard. Brooke smiled at the importance of this moment. Meredith had known exactly what she was doing when she sent her here.
Chapter 7. "You look happy," Tegan said. He sipped his beer and watched her. Connor watched her too, from across the fire, but his attention seemed more possessive. She'd caught Tegan staring at her often tonight, but in his eyes, adoration pooled in the deep blue color. The man could warm her with just a look. He'd been doing it all night. The boys were currently comparing the long arm of a machine called a processor to their dicks. The night was full of dirty jokes and laughter, but she couldn't seem to stay in the conversation anymore. Her attention kept drifting to Tegan. He'd cooked for them, then gone out of his way to make sure she had everything she needed. He didn't know it, but she'd seen him shake his head at Kellen as he prepared to offer her more boxed wine. He wasn't controlling about it, or abrasive, and she knew if she wanted, she could have more wine. But she'd had a dizzy spell earlier, and Tegan had steadied her, looking worried, then made sure Kellen didn't pressure her to finish the box on her own. She'd sobered up over the past couple of hours, but she still wasn't ready for bed. It was late, 10 o'clock at least, but it was so nice to just sit here, listening to potty talk, with the laughter of her new friends as medicine for her soul. It helped that Tegan had taken an old lawn chair right beside hers. Brighton sat down across the fire with a beat-up old guitar and started strumming a song she recognized from the radio. If she had any kind of voice, she'd hum along, but as it stood, she couldn't hold a tune. Dennison, however, could. He sang a strong, clear baritone with that thick country accent of his, and Brooke propped her feet up on an overturned log in front of her and relaxed into her plastic chair. The boys grew quiet, settling in as Dennison hit the chorus. Conversation faded to an occasional murmur as the boys nursed their beers and stared at the fire in the middle of them all. Brooke looked up to the sky, suddenly yearning to see the star she'd seen last night, the ones that looked radiant in the mountain sky. "You want to go up there?" Tegan asked. Brooke rolled her head toward him and smiled. "How'd you know?" "That place calls to me, too. You can't see it as well from here. The firelight and smoke pollute the view of the sky."
Shyness crept over her, dragging heat into her cheeks. Leaning over, she whispered into his ear, "Will you come with me?"
Tegan's breath hitched, and he hesitated before he answered. She thought he would say no, but instead, he grabbed her hand and helped her up, then led her around the outskirts of the circle. Connor's cold eyes followed them. Brooke couldn't look away from him as the firelight reflected strangely across his face. They looked like the eyes of an animal illuminated by high beams at night on the side of the road. A chill rippled across her skin, causing a wave of goose flesh over her arms.
"Don't mind him," Tegan said. "You know the rules, second," Connor said. "I challenged. You can't touch her until Jed gets back."
Tegan pressed his hand against the small of her back and guided her away from the campfire.
"Why does he call you second? And what did he mean about he challenged you?"
"Nothing you have to worry about," Tegan said, his voice hardening.
"Okay, but you know my entire ordeal, and no one will answer my questions here. You all speak in some secret code, and I get the distinct feeling I'm the only one here who is left out of the loop."
Tegan dropped his hand from her back, and she knew she'd pushed him too far. The rest of the trip to his favorite place on the mountain was quiet. Uncomfortable quiet, the kind that pressed weight onto her shoulders and made it hard to breathe. She came through the tree line into the mountainside clearing first. The stars were just as stunning tonight as they were last night. The wind was harsher here, and she rubbed the sleeves of her jacket to conjure warmth back into her arms.
"You're right," he said. "You told me everything, and I haven't shared much with you. It's not fair. Ask me something."
She wasn't brave enough to turn around, not yet. Instead, she gave her question to the wind.
"What does Meredith mean to you guys? Every time I've mentioned her, there is a reaction, but for the life of me, I can't tell if it's good or bad. I want to know why she sent me here, the real reason, not just the bull caca excuse she gave me over the phone."
His hand slid up her arms and rested on her shoulders where he gently squeezed.
"Meredith is my mother."
"What?" she said, spinning. "Your mom? Meredith James is your mother?"
She couldn't help the disbelief in her voice. She tried to find any similarity between the tall, stoic, gray-haired beauty and Tegan.
"But you don't look anything like her."
He laughed a surprised sound, and it echoed off the mountains.
"I took after my father." He shrugged his shoulders as if his jacket had grown too tight. "My mom says I'm the spitting image of him."
"Where is your father? I've never seen Meredith, your mom, with anyone."
"He died when I was a kid. I don't remember him."
"Oh."
Hurt slashed through his eyes in the moonlight before he composed his face again.
"Listen," she said, feeling like grit. I'm really sorry. I didn't know. I don't remember much about my dad either. God, she was rambling, and she definitely hadn't meant to let that little jewel slip out. I mean, he isn't dead or anything. He's just a prick. She scrunched her nose up. But at least I got to know him well enough when I was younger to know he's a prick. What I'm trying to say is I was raised by my stepdad. My mom married a nice man who took me in when my mom decided to make like my real dad and bail on parenting. I'm going to stop talking now.
I think it's cute when you get all chatty like this. I learn a lot about you. And for what it's worth, I'm sorry your real parents were pricks. Where does your stepdad live?
In Denver, where I grew up, but sometimes when I have a show, he drives to Boulder to see it.
He sounds like a good man. A good dad.
He's the best.
Just thinking about him spiked Brooke's emotions. If he hadn't taken her in, she didn't know where she would have ended up. Probably nowhere good.
Dad was working full-time, trying to make a life for us, and he still found time to take me to art classes after school. It's all I wanted to do was paint. He even paid my tuition to get a fine arts degree in college, even though he didn't have two pennies to rub together. And never once did he tell me I should be a doctor or lawyer or something. He always told me I was good enough to make a career in painting if I put my heart into it. Why did Connor call you second?
She sat on a giant, gnarled pine tree root and waited. Because that's what I am to our crew. Second in command.
Who's first?
Jedediah Mosley. You'll meet him. We all call him Jed.
And Connor wants to challenge you for second in the crew? What do you have to do to win?
Beat the shit out of him. Sorry, Brooke, but you don't want to hear about that part. Best you stay far away from that chaos when it goes down.
What did he mean? You can't touch me.
Tegan sat down and leaned up against the towering pine beside her. He asked a lot of questions.
I've been saving them up.
Neither Connor nor I can touch you until the challenge is through, and that challenge can't happen without Jed present.
And what if I touched you? Her mouth had gone off on its own and gotten entirely too bold. The lingering buzz from the boxed wine was probably to blame, but tonight she wanted to be reckless and break stupid rules made up by silly boys.
He drew his gaze slowly to her. He looked troubled and inhaled a long breath. If you touch me, the rules go out the window for me. Know that before you start teasing, woman. His voice had gone gruff and gravelly, and she closed her eyes to fully enjoy the sound of him. She scooted closer and poked his leg with an extended finger.
Touch.
Sliding a little closer, she bumped the side of his arm with his and said,
touch.
A deep chuckle rattled from his throat as he leaned his back against the tree and stared at the starry sky above them. Come here. He lifted his arm over his head and drew her against his side. Brooke hadn't realized how cold she was until his warmth blanketed her. Reveling in the feeling of utter safety, she snuggled in close. Touch, he whispered, looking down at her. His smile faded from his face as he watched her. A low vibrating sound rattled from his chest as she wrapped her arms around his taut waist. She pressed the palm of her hand against his breastbone. The sound stopped, and she frowned.
Why do you do that?
He looked at her for a long time, as if he was debating, telling her everything he'd ever known. He was right there, on the edge of admitting something important. She could feel it. When he drew away from her touch, it cut straight to her middle. A flare of anger expanded in her chest, and she threw a leg over him and straddled him, ensuring he couldn't escape.
Brooke,
Tegan said, his voice deep with warning.
Tell me why. What does that noise mean?
She grabbed his hands and pulled them against her hips under the waist of her jacket. The sound rattled for a moment before he jerked his head to the side and cut it off. She rocked closer to his hips, closer to his warmth.
Tell me what it means, and I'll let you run away from me again.
That's not what I want. Tegan's voice sounded uncertain and lost. I don't want to run away.
Then why won't you look at me?
The cords of muscle in his throat were straining with his attempt to look away from her. Because this is a bad idea. His lips said the words, but his hands drew her waist closer, right over his rigid erection under his jeans.
Fine, she whispered, pulling him close.
so that her chin rested on his shoulders. Don't look at me, but tell me what the noise you make means when we touch. His hands went around her, and he hugged her tightly. With a trembling sigh, he said, "The sound means I like you. It means something inside of me approves of whatever you're doing when I make it. It means I'm content and happy with you." "I like you," she murmured, squeezing her eyes tightly closed. If he could be brave enough to tell her such things, she could share her honest feelings as a reward for him. Tegan eased back and held the sides of her face, then leaned his forehead against hers and closed his eyes. His breathing was ragged, unsteady. Leaning forward, he brushed his lips against hers once, twice. Two little plucks on her lips that said he was still trying to talk himself out of going any deeper with her. He was scared. The realization rocked her. He was just as scared of her as she was of him, of how deeply she felt for him. This was big, important. Meredith had always said the things that scared her the most were always worth the risk. God, she hoped she was right. Angling her chin, she kissed him just as gently as he'd done to her. Lips moving slowly against his, she rolled her hips until she sat right in the apex he'd created by drawing his knees up behind her back. The sound came back, throaty, content, practically a purr against the palms of her hands as she slid them down to feel. "I like that sound," she whispered, pulling away slightly. "Don't hide it from me anymore." The noise, a low growl now that grew louder as he gripped her hips and rocked her against his erection. He opened her mouth and brushed his tongue against hers. One of his hands rubbed up her back and entwined in her hair as he pulled her closer and thrust his tongue deeper into her mouth. Holy hell balls. She'd thought Tegan was sexy before, but this? Her insides were on fire. He adjusted the angle of her hips, and the man hit right where her oversensitive clit was pressed against her pants. Her college boyfriend hadn't managed to find that spot in the 2 years they'd dated, but Tegan pressed his hand against it, as if he knew exactly what would make her come. Tegan trailed kisses from her mouth, down her jaw, to her collarbone he exposed as he pressed her jacket and sweater to the side. "I'll keep you warm," he promised, as he pushed her coat from her shoulders. The butterflies in her stomach turned to dragons as he ran his fingertips under the hem of her shirt and up her ribcage, up and down and back up again, until a shiver of pleasure trembled up her spine. And for some strange reason, despite the stiff wind, she was warm. Tegan was growing hotter by the minute, and now, when she pulled his sweater off and pressed her hands over his rigid pecs, he felt like a furnace. "Told you," he said, one corner of his mouth lifting in a teasing smile. Feeling braver than she had in months, she pulled her own sweater off and unhooked her bra. She wanted nothing more than to touch his skin with hers. She wanted to feel that burning warmth against her sensitive nipples. She wanted to burrow against him until she was part of him. She wanted to feel safe. Tegan's eyes went wide as she shrugged out of her bra. When he slowly lifted his hands and cupped the fullness of her breasts, she rolled her eyes back at how good his touch felt. His hands were calloused from the hard labor he did to earn his living, and it contrasted against the smoothness of her skin. Tegan eased her forward, dipped his head, then drew her nipple into his mouth. She arched against him and cupped the back of his head. His tongue lapped at her, and she imagined what he would feel like with his head between her legs. Brooke's panties were wet by the time he moved to the next to pay her other breast the same attention. He rolled his hips in rhythm to his sucking, and she bowed against him. She'd only come with a man twice, but Tegan was about to pull an orgasm from her with his jeans on. "Oh," she said softly as he nipped her breast gently. Her breath became ragged as tingling pressure built between her thighs. "Oh," she said louder as the pressure threatened to spill over the edge. Tegan yanked the button of her jeans. The zipper sounded loud against the quiet night. His hand was warm as he slid it under her panties and cupped her sex. "I want to feel," he said in a gruff voice. Each time she moved her hips, whimpering noises wrenched from her throat. Tegan slid his finger into her, and let out a long, shuddering sigh as she bucked against his hand.
"Tegan, Tegan," she moaned. "I'm going to..."
All thought left her as he pressed harder onto her clit and detonated her. The orgasm rocketed through her body, making everything clench up. Her hands in his hair, her knees around his ribs, her insides against his finger. He pressed his thumb to her sensitive spot, rubbed it gently, prolonging her release, as if he knew exactly what her body needed. She kissed him while her aftershock subsided, kissed him until they were long gone, kissed him until her body wanted again.
"I'm on birth control," she said.
"Brooke," Tegan said, shaking his head, "it's not a good idea for me to bond to you any more than I already have." What a strange way of putting it. Bond to her. Well, she felt bonded to him, so she understood the sentiment. "You also said it wasn't a good idea to touch you. But I have no regrets," she said through a grin, as she combed her fingers through his short hair. "Besides," she said, arching her eyebrow at the long, hard roll of his shaft pressed against the fabric of his jeans, "that looks uncomfortable, and I know what can fix it." He searched her face. Uncertainty clouded the clear blue of his eyes, so she stood. "I used to hate what I looked like without clothes," she admitted. It was her deepest insecurity, and she was trusting him with it. She was giving him the power to hurt her now, to reject her, and hoping that he wouldn't. "I've only slept with boys when it was completely dark." Shame heated her cheeks as she kicked her shoes off and pushed her jeans to her ankles, then stepped out of them. "I guess right now it's still dark, but I feel stronger with you, better with you." She pushed her panties down her legs and straightened her spine, completely vulnerable before him. Tegan raked his hungry eyes slowly over every inch of her body. He didn't have to say a word, but the enamored way he gazed at her body was enough.
"Shit, woman. You don't play fair. We're going to hurt each other on the way out of this."
He lifted his gaze to hers. His eyes were serious and hard.
"Are you sure you want this? Want me?"
It sounded like he was asking so much more than just to have sex with her, and her stomach churned with the rightness of what was happening between them. She wasn't just some one-night stand to him.
"I want you."
She ducked her head and scrunched her nose, embarrassed at being so exposed in front of another person. Tegan stood and shucked his pants.
"Come here," he murmured. "Let me hold you."
With a conscious effort, Brooke kept her mouth from hanging open at the sight of his gloriously naked body. Adonis didn't even cut it. The man was a demigod, muscles bulging, shaft long and thick, and that alluring tattoo dark against his pale skin. His erection stood rigid in between them, and as she stepped closer, she ran her finger down the silken skin there. His hips jerked at her touch, and a helpless-sounding noise came from him as she grabbed him at the base and pulled upward. She felt like a goddess with him. He was strong and capable. His entire crew looked to him for leadership, and he always answered with level-headed answers, as if nothing ever got to him. And with her, he'd been tender and caring. He hadn't run away when he found out what had scared her into the person she was now. He'd done the opposite of what she expected, and soothed the fire in her blood. Tegan was unlike any man she'd ever known. He turned them slowly as she stroked him, until her back was pressed on the smooth bark of a towering ash tree. He scooped up his jacket and pulled it around her shoulders. "Don't want that pretty back of yours torn up," he rumbled in a soft stroke against her ear. Pressing against her, he pulled her hand over his shoulder and around his neck, then did the same with the other. His intense gaze was different now. His eyes looked a strange color in the shadow of the tree. A trick of the night, surely. His eyes dipped to her breasts, then back up again.
"Whatever hang-ups you have with your body, you don't need them with me. You're perfect. I wouldn't change a single thing about you."
"So you aren't just dressing me in your jacket to hide me away?"
He laughed and shook his head slowly. "No." He touched her sex, sliding his fingers back and forth through the moisture he'd conjured there.
I'm saving the skin on your back. But I must admit, I like the sight of you in my clothes. So anytime you want to borrow my jacket, just ask. I'll think about this, what you're letting me do to you, anytime you wear it. Fuck, you smell good.
I smell?
Yeah, good. I can tell how aroused you are by your scent. I like that I do that to you.
The rumbling sound was almost constant in his throat now, barely audible, but there.
He nipped her lip, then ducked and grazed his teeth over her neck. A delicious shiver shook her shoulders.
A smile in his voice, Tegan said,
I like when I do that to you, too.
He pressed his finger inside of her, then touched her clit until she sighed a little whimper.
And that, too. You're a noisy little thing. I like you telling me what you like, what you want.
I want you, she said on a breath, tired of the games. She was ready to be filled, ready to feel him, ready to be even closer to the man she was falling hard for.
Say it again, he said, smile dipping from his face as he watched her lips.
I want you.
His breath became uneven. Behind her knee, he lifted her leg until her hips were angled where he wanted them. I want you to, he whispered, teasing her opening with the head of his cock. One shallow dip, and he pulled back.
God, she was so ready for him. Stretching up, she kissed him, brushing her tongue against his in a tease of her own.
The growling sound in his throat grew louder as she pressed her hips forward.
His shaft sank halfway inside of her, and she moaned at how good the stretch felt.
He kissed her long and deep, massaging the back of her neck as he rocked his shaft in and out of her.
Desperate for all of him, she begged, Please, Tegan, more. His arms were shaking, his breath ragged, his kiss more demanding, and she could almost see his resolve dissolving.
Whatever he was waiting for, she didn't need it. She didn't need a gentleman. She needed Tegan and all the pent-up desire she'd seen in his eyes all night.
More, he asked, bucking into, filling her completely.
Harder, she said. Pressure, pressure, pressure. And how could a man feel this good? How could anything feel so good?
Tegan drew out slowly, then thrust into her again. He dropped her leg, gripped her hips, and drew out again.
His pace picked up, and Brooke gripped his back, pulling him closer. It still wasn't enough, couldn't ever be enough.
His powerful hips bucked as he pushed into her harder and faster.
The pleasure was so potent, it consumed her. She closed her eyes against the intensity. She yelled his name as her orgasm pounded through her. Tegan growled out as his warmth splashed into her, and his thrusting became erratic. He slowed and then stopped, just held her. Rocking back and forth, he kissed her forehead, her cheeks, her lips, her nose. It was hard to stand on her wobbly legs after what they'd done. Something had changed on a cellular level inside of her. Feelings she thought she was incapable of were bubbling to the surface. Now, she was in much, much deeper with Tegan than she'd ever allowed herself to admit out loud. As minutes dragged on, Tegan grew hard and swelled inside of her again. Without a word, he gently rocked until she came again. This time wasn't rushed or desperate for release like before. This one he gave her, just because he cared. He drew her orgasm from her softly and froze as she pulsed around him. Only then did he pull out of her. Tegan picked his sweater up from the ground and turned it inside out, then knelt in front of her and brushed it across her sex and down the moisture that had trickled down her thighs.
What are you doing? She asked.
Cleaning you.
But you don't have to.
I want to.
Okay, she whispered, feeling cared for and adored.
When he was done, he pulled her panties on, then her jeans, then her bra. Turning her with gentle hands, he hooked the lingerie in back, then pulled her sweater over her head. When he was dressed, sans his shirt, which he kept clutched in his hands, he led her back down the trail, holding her hand and never taking his eyes from her for long. He kissed her at her door. Chastely, like he was trying to be a gentleman, then said good night. But later, when the nightmares came back and she was frozen and terrified in her bed, Tegan appeared, as if he'd known her fear was coming, as if he'd known she would need him.
He slid under the sheets and lay in bed beside her, then pulled her close and stroked her mussed hair until it was smooth. And she fell asleep again.